If you have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Daniel chapter 1. We're going to do a few week study through the book of Daniel before school begins, before September gets here, and we start through our study of Galatians. This morning, Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 is where we'll be. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you join me this morning. We're going to talk about, the title of our sermon this morning is Standing on Absolutes. We're going to talk about compromise this morning. I want to share a story with you. There was a New York family. They bought a ranch out west, and they were really excited about it. They're out there. They'd gotten started. They were going to raise cattle. And they had some friends from New York come and visit, and they asked them what the name of it was going to be. And they said, well, I wanted to name it Bar J. I think I've shared this with you, but it's very fitting for our message this morning. I wanted to name it Bar J. My wife favored Susie Q. One son liked Flying W, and the other wanted Lazy Y. So we're going to call it Bar J, Susie Q, Flying W, Lazy Y. And then the New York friend said, well, where's your cattle? Said, none of it made it through the branding. I think there are times when compromise is good, right? There are moments where I think we should all, if there's some issue, compromise is what's needed. But let me share with you, when it comes to our stance, when it comes to our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, compromise is not something that we do. We never compromise our stance on who Jesus Christ is in our lives. So if I come up to you, or if a stranger from outside ever comes up to you and they ask you, are you a Christian? Your response will be, not should be, but your response will be, yes, I'm a child of the God Most High. Yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If they come up to you and they ask you, who is Jesus to you? What is your response going to be? Are you going to say, he is my Lord and Savior? Are you going to compromise? And are you going to say, Jesus is just a good guy, isn't he? What's going to be your response? When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, compromise is not something that should be on our lips. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And it's very important that you and I, as Christ followers, keep the Word of God. It's very important that we keep the commandments of God. It means something. God's Word also says that if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Let that never be said of us. Amen? Let it never be said of us that we have denied the one true God. So compromise, as we talk about this morning, we're going to look at Daniel, and we're going to see there was a man. He had experienced him and several of his friends. They'd been taken captive with the 605 BC capture of Jerusalem. Israel was taken captive. And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was the head honcho during that time. They came in, and the king wanted to find these young men who were a part of the nobility of Israel, wanted to bring them. They wanted to teach them the Chaldean language, wanted to teach them the Chaldean rituals or the Babylonian ways. And they got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the names that they ended up changing them to. And so you're going to see through the word this morning that Daniel was a man who refused to compromise even in the midst of trying times. Daniel was a man who stood on absolutes. He was confident in his God, and he trusted that his God was going to see him through regardless of the situation. My question to you this morning is, are you trusting God to see you through? Are you believing that God is going to make sure that regardless of where you are in life, regardless of what your lot is, that you're going to make it through whatever situation it is, because you're standing on the absolutes with a confident faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I want to challenge you with that this morning. And so I want to ask you to honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasurer's house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there were no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those of were the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names, gave Daniel Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart, get this, listen to this verse, don't forget this verse, this is the most important verse of the whole message. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested that the chief of the eunuchs, that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Will you pray with me? Father God in heaven today, in the mighty, matchless name of Christ Jesus our Lord, we humble ourselves in your presence. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to come together to be a voice for you, but to be able to come together today and worship you through song. Lord, to be able to worship you through prayer, to be able to worship you as a body of believers who are gathered together. And what we pray right now is that you'd begin to have your way in our hearts. Lord, that there be no outside distractions, that you would bind Satan far from us, that you would keep us from the evil one. Lord, that today, now, we would glorify you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That we stand on absolutes. We stand on faith in the one true God. Lord, we ask even now that you would begin to have your way with our hearts. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things that I want to submit to you this morning. What time is it? It's 20 till. Okay, here's the deal. We're going past 11. Okay, I'm just going to tell you up front, we're going past 11, and then we've got a baptism to follow, so about 11:30, I'm going to let you go. I just want you to be aware of that up front this morning, because I'm going to preach. And you know, when I preach, I get long-winded sometimes, and this little introduction that I'm going to preach just proves how long-winded I can get. Did that make any sense at all? Preach it. That's what I wanted to hear. There are three things that I wanted to submit to you this morning that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God. Daniel, he was raised in the ways of the Lord. He had been challenged. He was never expecting that God was going to allow Israel to be taken captive. This was something that was at the farthest portion of his mind. It is not something that he was dwelling on, not something that he was thinking about, and now it's come to fruition. Now it's happened. Now Daniel, now his family, now his family's family, his children, his children's children, all of those who are in his family, they've been taken captive by Babylon. Everybody is waving out there. If y'all, somebody turn that back. That back air on. I asked for this one to be turned off because it blows my paper, but turn that back one on. And so Daniel was a man who was confident in his God, but he had never been able to really, I want you to think about this. He'd really never been able to experience God the way he was about to experience God. He had never been able to experience God in this way. Now, there was coming a moment in his life, listen to me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know them. Now, there's an opportunity for Daniel to stand on absolutes, to stand confidently and trust in the ability and the power of his God. Never before had he been tested in such a way. And I know in our lives there are many times where obstacles come and we're presented an opportunity to choose and to see if we're going to stand on the absolutes, if we're going to trust in our resolve to keep Jesus front and center in our lives, or are we going to compromise? And we all have to answer that question. There's going to come a point in your life eventually where you're going to have to choose that I'm standing on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. You will have to choose. And my question to you is, are you going to give in? Are you going to show out for Jesus? And so as we look at Daniel this morning, I want to share three things with you quickly. The first thing is this, or maybe not so quickly, but the first thing is this: God is providentially working to achieve his purpose. I want you to, if you have your bulletins, you can turn over on the back, you can follow along, you can fill that in. But God is providentially working to achieve his purpose. And finally, I've already given you a little bit of background. Year after year, day after day, I've shared with you, we've been going through the Old Testament this summer. And what was common in the house of God is week after week they would gather together, and as they gathered together, they would go through the motions of worship. They would lift their hands and say, I need you. Oh, I need you. They would sing that. And they would worship God. They would lift their hands up, yet they left unchanged. And I want to share this with you. Just when you lift your hands up and you're singing, I need you, oh, I need you, I want to tell you, you can't sing that song without being changed. And they were coming in week after week in back in the day. And they would sit through worship and they would leave unchanged. They would go back out in the world. They would literally take up the other gods. They would worship the false gods. They would bow down to the false gods. They would eat foods that had been given to the idols. This is what they were doing. And God had warned them. He had sent one prophet after another, one judge after another, one man to come and stand in the gates of the house of God and to proclaim that it was time for the church to listen up. And week after week, they left unchanged. So now, God has allowed Babylon to come in and take them captive. As a matter of fact, this is what the Word of God says. Listen to this. It says in verse 2, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hands. The Lord allowed it. He had told them, he had warned them, yet they entered in the house of God and they left unchanged. And just as a side note, I need you to know right now, you cannot enter into the house of God ever without leaving unchanged. You have to be changed when you meet King Jesus. Amen? And so you've got to leave changed. There has to be something different about you when you leave than there was when you come in. If nothing more than just coming in and just having that fresh touch from Jesus that we need every week, right? And so God is providentially working to achieve his purpose. And finally, Israel, as they continued sin, God allowed them to be captured. And it would seem like for them, their world was falling apart. You ever been there? Seems like your world is falling apart. You can't sit in the chair without the chair falling. You can't get in the car without the battery not being strong enough to start it. You can't go to work without running out of gas. It seems like something is always awry. There's something always going on, and you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to handle it. And it's difficult sometimes. But I want to tell you, even in the hard times, God is providentially working to achieve his purpose in your life. And we don't always see it at the moment that God's allowing trials or tribulations, but God's always up to something. Let me share with you about God's providence. In World War II, Paul Harvey told of a story about a group of individuals who had been taken captive. It was a large number of individuals. They were in Japan. Kokora, I don't know how to pronounce the word. Kokora, Japan is where they were. They were in a... They were behind bars. And the Army had sent the B-29 bomber, and their objective was to go and to destroy this place where the American soldiers had been taken captive. The problem was, the last information they had received, the American captives were in another facility. And so their objective was to go and to destroy this facility at Kokura, Japan, and there was a fog that had covered the place. They couldn't see. The B-29 bomber was right there, and they had circled around for over an hour. They were running low of fuel. They wanted to be able to meet their objective. They wanted to be able to drop the bomb, but they didn't want any civilian casualties. Thank you. And they didn't want any civilian casualties. And so they just circled, and then they were running low of fuel, and the captain finally said, "We need to go to Plan B." Plan B was to go just a few miles down and to drop the bombs. And so they did that. They went a few miles down. They dropped the bombs. And about 2 weeks later, word had gotten back to them of the transfer of our soldiers from one place to another. And this is what the captain said. The captain said, "Thank God for that protecting cloud. If that city hadn't been hidden from the bomber, it would have been destroyed and thousands of American boys would have died." You want to talk about God's providence? Listen, we don't always understand why God does what he does or why God allows to happen what he allows to happen. But don't you know that through the text this morning as you look, Daniel was confused. He didn't know what was going on. He was unaware that even in the midst of this happening that God was orchestrating it from behind the scenes. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands with some of the articles of the house of God, which he had carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasury house of his God. This is what Nebuchadnezzar did. He wanted the treasury of the church, of the kingdom. And they came, they got it, and then they took it so that that treasury could be used in the worship of their false gods. And then it goes on and it says right here in verse 3, "Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles." So even in this, what God was doing something that was amazing. And God is always, listen to me, he's always providentially working to see that his purpose, that his plan, that his will is fulfilled. Even when you don't understand why, don't think that God's not up to something. Don't think that God's not involved, that God doesn't have his hand in on it. If it comes to you, if it comes to his children, God is actively involved. God is pursuing some way or another. He's pursuing you. God's desire is to draw you into that closer relationship with him. And so God is providentially working to fulfill his purpose in life. The second thing that I share with you this morning, friends, is that God can use his children in any circumstance. And I think you already see that through the text this morning, that God can use his children through any circumstance. Maybe you're thinking about some things that have gone on in your past life, your past experiences, where you know firsthand that God can use his children in any circumstance. As a matter of fact, as we talk about God providentially working and God providentially moving, Romans 8 verse 28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose." It's about God working for the good to those who love him. Let me ask you a question. Do you love Jesus? Do you? Yes. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? We're going to get in a battle now. Listen, if you love Jesus, the Word of God says that he's providentially working things out in your life for the good, for his purpose. And so now we see that God can use his children in any circumstance. And so Daniel and his friends, they've been taken captive. And it was customary that the nobles would be taken and they would be put into hard labor. They were going to build pyramids. They were going to dig ditches. This is what is customary. But this time, Nebuchadnezzar had different plans. This time it was about them coming into the royal house, into the royal family, because God had bigger plans. God had greater aspirations. There was something going on behind the scenes that no one else understood. And so even in the midst of a circumstance like this, God was at work. Even in the midst of your pain, your sorrow, your suffering, your heartache, God is at work. God's doing something. The issue is, are you allowing God to work? Are you allowing God to heal your hurt? Are you allowing God to answer your prayer? Or are you trying to do it all yourself? Sometimes we just got to get out of God's way, don't we? And when we get out of God's way, it always seems like He comes through for us. You know, the quarterback drops back and it's that Hail Mary and the receiver runs. Receiver right with a cornerback right here on him and the ball drops right in the right place. But you've got to get out of God's way sometimes. You've got to let God work in your life on your behalf. In the Bible, I want to give you just a couple of quick illustrations that would affirm what I'm talking to you about this morning. You remember Moses, he was born in Egypt. His family was already slaves. They were in Egypt. 430 years is the number of years. Now Moses comes along. You know the story of Moses. But Pharaoh was realizing that the number of Israelites was growing too large, and he said he wanted all of the male Israelites slaughtered. He wanted them killed. He didn't want them, if they were born, he wanted them slaughtered. But Moses' mom, she held on to him. She didn't have him slaughtered. She held on to him. She nursed him until he was big enough that she couldn't hide him anymore. And then Moses' mom and his sister, they got together, they'd come up with a plan, and they'd put Moses in this basket, and they'd send him down the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be at a distance, and she saw this basket coming down with a baby in it. And she scoops the baby up out of the water. And she takes the baby back to the Egyptian palace. And she raises the baby as her own. But get this, God allowed Moses' mom still be the one to nurse him, to still be the one to take care of him. Tell me God wasn't orchestrating that. Tell me God wasn't involved. Tell me God wasn't doing something wonderful, even when everyone else thought that it was something bad. As a matter of fact, Moses, he was raised, he learned the Egyptian language, he learned the way they live, he learned all of these different things, and then what did he do? He came back and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. See, God was orchestrating this all from behind the scenes. God can use his children in any circumstance. What about this one? What about Jacob? You remember? And he had all of those sons, and he had one son that was his favorite, it seemed like, whose name was Joseph. But Joseph's brothers got wind that he was the favorite, and they were jealous of it. And they wanted to take Joseph and they wanted to throw him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted him to be torn to shreds. They threw him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery. But God was orchestrating from behind the scenes. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was taken captive. But what happened to Joseph? He ended up being the second in command in a nation that wasn't his own. Friends, you don't tell me that God doesn't work on behalf of his children. Don't tell me that God doesn't work on behalf of those who love him. Don't tell me that God isn't orchestrating something in your life behind the scenes that you can't see, that you know nothing about. Don't tell me God doesn't do that, because I've seen it time and again through his word, and I've seen it time and again in people's lives. Don't tell me God isn't working on our behalves. On our behalf. God works. Amen? It's up to you. It's up to me to get out of his way and allow God to work. I love this. Listen, this is what Acts chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 says. It says, "And the patriarchs, becoming envious, they sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all of his troubles and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh." That's good, isn't it? God was with him. God delivered him. God delivered him out of all of his troubles and he gave him favor. But listen to this. How does this correspond right here with Daniel? Verse 4, it says they wanted these young men in whom there was no blemish. They wanted the perfect person, it seems like. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And then it says that the king provided them with the delicacies from the king's table. Now, what you need to know about that is that from the king's table, this food had been offered to idols. It had been cut up, it had been placed on an altar, and it would go to worship the Baal gods. And Daniel knew that. And he was not about to compromise his beliefs. And so he was wondering, he was hoping, he was praying that God was up to something. And friends, I want you to know this morning, I hope you realize that there's nothing too big for God to overcome. In your life as an individual, do you realize that there's nothing too big for God to overcome? I hope I hear some of you say amen this morning, because you've experienced that already. God works in mighty ways, in ways that sometimes you and I can't even understand. As a matter of fact, listen to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise God. That if he has started a work in your life, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if God has begun a good work in your life, then God is going to see it through. You know, our only hope are the promises of God. Amen? If we can't stand on the promises of God, if we can't stand on those absolutes, then what can we stand on? Our foundation is nothing more than shifting sand if we can't stand on the promises of God. Amen? And the last thing that I want to share with you this morning is this, is that God blesses those who with a genuine commitment to serve him. Let me say that again. God blesses those with a genuine commitment to serve him. I want to ask you this. I do not want you to respond. I want you to think about it in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind, in your soul, and I want it to resonate deep, deep down. Don't answer. Think. Do you claim to be a child of the God Most High through the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. I just, in your hearts, that's what you're saying. And if you claim to be a child of the one true God through the blood of Jesus Christ, then as a child of God, I'm not asking you now, I'm telling you, you should have a genuine desire to honor God with your life. You should have a genuine desire to honor God with your life. What does that mean, preacher? It means this, that when you're out in the real world, that you're aware of who God is in your life. When you're out in the real world, when you're at work, when you're driving in your car and you think no one's home, when you're at home alone and you think no one's watching, when you're out with your friends and you think no one's going to tell, it doesn't matter if they tell, because you're going to be uncompromising in your stance to honor Christ Jesus with your life. Amen? So the question for you is, do you have a genuine commitment to serve him? Do you have a genuine commitment to honor him? Listen to the text this morning. Verses 6 and 7, it just talks about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. then their names were changed to Babylonian names, Chaldean names. But verse 8 and 9 are the ones that we're going to focus on. Verse 8 says this, but Daniel had purposed in his heart. Now remember, they had already been given the delicacies of the king's, off the king's tables, meat that had been sacrificed to foreign gods, wine that had also, the wine, what they would do is they would literally, as they would sacrifice the animals, they would also pour the wine on the altar as a sacrifice. The false gods would get the first drink. So they would pour the first drink on the altar with the sacrifice to the foreign gods, to the dead gods, to the gods that aren't alive, to the gods that aren't real, to the gods that were made with the hands of man. That's what they would do. And Daniel knew all of their customs. He had been there long enough. Now, it says in here that for 3 years they were even taught. And Daniel got to a point in his life. Now, it does not tell us, we assume that he never ate any of the king's delicacies, but it tells us that for 3 years they were taught the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And as a result of it saying that, you have to wonder if in the beginning, maybe he did eat the king's delicacies. Maybe in the beginning, he didn't know they were sacrificed to false gods. But there came a point, whether he did or he didn't, there came a point where he realized what was going on. And at that point, he had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, that he would not compromise his stance, his trust, his belief in the power of God, who is from beginning to end, who is the first and last, who is the Alpha and the Omega, that he would not compromise his stance on who God is in his life. And he literally, ultimately said this, God, I'm going to trust you right now with this situation. God, I want to believe you to get me through. And I say all of that to say it does not matter what your experiences have been. Now, this morning, there's no excuse, because you come to the point where you realize that if you trust God with your circumstance and your situation, then God is going to give you a way of escape. Whew. About lost my breath saying that. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And verse 9 says this, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. See, God was working, God was orchestrating, and God blesses those who genuinely commit themselves to serve him. Why? Why? There's got to be a reason, right? Rhyme or reason. Why would God do that, Brad? Why, Cameron? Why? There has to be a reason for God to bless when we commit ourselves to him. And so Psalms 67 verses 1 through 4, I want to share with you. Turn there in your Bibles. I want you to see it. If you don't have your Bibles, look up here. Psalms 67 verses 1 through 4. This is the request of the psalmist. He said this. He said, be merciful to us and bless us. It's a request. All of us have that, right? We've all said that in our prayers. Lord, bless. Lord, bless. Lord, bless. We've asked God to bless us somewhere, somehow, some way in our lives and cause his face to shine upon us. God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Peace. Then there's this interruption, peace. And then he moves on and he says this, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. And so here's the why. Listen to me. Lord, bless. We ask, we pray, we ask, we desire God to bless. And so here's why. Why should God bless you? Why would God bless you? And then why does God bless you? And here's the answer. Listen, that God's ways may be known on all the earth. If God blesses you as his child, then somebody is going to see the blessing that God has placed in your life. As a result of that, they're going to say, wow, things are going pretty well for you. What are you doing differently? And your response is going to be, because you're God-minded, your response is going to be, God is blessing me. Right? That's your response. And when that is your response, when that becomes your mantra, your battle cry, when that becomes your call in life, and you realize that God is blessing you, you share that with other people, they realize that there must be a God. Then listen, and not only that, so that God might be known in all the earth, but also it says that your salvation among all the nations. Why would God bless you? God would bless you for the work of the Great Commission. What has God called us to do? He's called us to go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what God has told us to do. And then he went on and he added something. He said, and know this, that I am with you wherever you go. That's what he said. And God means that the reason he would bless you, the reason he would save you, is so that people of all the earth would know who he is as a result of your testimony about the one true God in your life. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my confidant. Jesus is my partner. Jesus is the one who saves me when I need saving. He rescues me out of the miry, murky clay. Jesus is my life source. Wow. You think that won't curl some ears? It will. That's why you and I have to be... We got to live our lives in such a way that we're boldly proclaiming Jesus wherever we go. Not always do you have to say, hey, do you know that if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're dying and going straight to hell? I'm telling you the truth. That pushes people away. But here's the thing. When you're living your life for Jesus, when you're living your life for the glory of God, when you're living your life for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then people see that you're living your life for the glory of God. And I'm telling you, they're going to ask, what's going on in your life? Oh man, God is just blessing me. Oh, God is wonderful. I just praise God. Let me ask you this question now. How is God blessing you? You know why God desires to bless you. How is he blessing you? Isn't that a question? How is God blessing you? And then it says this, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. So why does God bless you? God blesses those who, with a genuine commitment to serve him. Why? If your heart is fixed on God, the why is this reason. So that his name may be known on earth. That God's salvation might be received through the nations of the world. Listen, get this. Don't lose this in the context of what I'm talking about. It's all about Jesus. And it's only about Jesus. And so for Daniel, he was raised in a Jewish home. He followed the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. He was faithful to follow the law. He was raised. He understood. He knew. Now he was in a foreign land, and he had seen a people who worshipped and served a foreign God. But he knew that God was fixing to do something in his life. So he stood on absolutes, trusting that God was about to come through in a way like never before. So in closing, I need to ask you this. In life, you're provided with lots of opportunity to honor God. Day in and day out, week in and week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, you're provided countless opportunities to praise, honor, and glorify him. So my question is, are you doing that? When God provides you with a divine appointment, are you honoring God so that his name might be known on all the earth? Are you honoring God in a way that would help someone else know that they can trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, salvation to all the nations. And then it said, Psalms 67, then it said, the reason for all of this is that the people may praise God. So how are you praising Him? Are you standing on absolutes? Do you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you honor Him with lifted up hands when you come into the sanctuary and sing? Do you honor Him with bowed heads and humble heart when prayer is going on or when you're talking to God? Do you give Him your life? Do you give Him bits of your life? See, those are questions that I can't answer for you. You have to answer those questions. But according to the Word of God, when you stand on absolute faith, when you do not compromise your belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Word of God tells us that He blesses those who commit with genuine commitment, commit to serve Him. You know, that's the reason He saved you, was to serve Him. So I don't know what God is dealing with you about this morning. Maybe you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want you to know that the greatest desire for God is that you praise Him by accepting His Son as your personal Savior. So if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, and you die today and you want to go to heaven, if that happens, then you've got to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You've got to believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead that you might be saved. Students, what's the rest of it? For with the heart, what is it? You learned it. For with the heart, huh? With the mouth, confess Him unto salvation. So with the heart, you believe in the righteousness, and with the mouth, you confess Him unto salvation. So this morning, if you want to know how to be saved, it's pretty simple. You believe that God the Father sent His Son, God the Son, to earth to live a perfect life, to die on an old rugged cross for your sins and for my sins. That He was taken down, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb of a rich man. That 3 days later, according to the way the Hebrews counted their days, 3 days later, He rose from the grave. And I want to tell you, for you and for me, death, hell, and the grave is defeated through the blood of Jesus. So maybe you're here today and you're ready to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you where you failed Him. Ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. And then maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you can look back and you can see that there have been times of compromise. And today you're ready to take a stand and acknowledge, Lord, today I'm telling you there will be no more compromise. You can't do it on your own strength. You have to trust in the power of God to give you the strength even to not compromise. But what decision are you going to make today? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today I just want to thank You for Your Word, Lord, an opportunity to be able to serve You, opportunity to be able to proclaim Your Word. Lord, I know that You've spoken to our hearts this morning in some way or another. My prayer is that Your Word will not return void, but even now You're speaking to the hearts of the individual men, women, and children who are here. Lord, what are You saying to us? Father, I pray that in some way or another today we will leave changed, that we will not leave without having responded to You, Father. We praise You and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand. This will be our invitation time. Will you come this morning? Quickly, quick invitation. What is God speaking to you about? What decisions do you need to make? You come.